Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I think this needs to be the Steve Keeley approach, the Linda Kearns approach, who we had on yesterday about the Eagles ads. And the thing that we're asking that these morons don't get, it's not to me about the Eagles. That's way down on the list. And it appears now that whoever did this, another highlight Dana and I talked about yesterday, apparently you can get any kind of key anywhere, like with the check washing, breaking into mailboxes. Somebody apparently, it seems to be, broke into with some key to put this poster or these posters up in these SEPTA boxes. Now, they assure us that even though this ad company owns those spaces, they go through a rigorous look at the ads they're going to put up there. The connection to the Eagles, Dan, is this Christian guy who on his Twitter now, he's removed all replies. He went after people concerned about this ad. And he now has taken down all those replies, and he touts himself on Twitter as connected to team relations with the Eagles. I don't understand why the Eagles said they're talking to their advertising partners about this. I really don't quite get that connection. And of course, this was done on Labor Day, you know, in Philadelphia with the unions. No one, you know, a typhoon could hit downtown Philadelphia. Nothing's happened. We'll get to that on Tuesday. You know, that doesn't matter, no matter what you do.
Bleed green.
Yeah, they did that, absolutely, and they tapped into the Holy of Holies, the Eagles, who have a rocky history with President Trump. Several of these sports snipers, who are really liberals, Dan, are putting up links and going back to articles they wrote when the Eagles essentially refused in 2017 to go to the Trump White House. They're accusing Trump of papering the house at the White House with fake Eagles fans. Here's what we're concerned about. I'll speak for myself. I think Dan was in on this, and Linda Kearns will be back with us at 1 o'clock, our election integrity expert. She found out about this, was investigating when we got her on yesterday. Where is Al Schmidt? Now, Dan's trying to get him on. No response yet, Dan.
Nope.
Okay, now he, you know, when we're over Channel 6, he was fine with it. I'll treat him civilly. He is the Republican. You know the whole thing, 2020.
Is he still with the Committee of 70 or whatever it is?
No. He's the Secretary of State.
I know he is, but you think he's still associated with them at all?
Not that I know of.
Oh, okay.
An all-time fraudulent organization. All-time fraudulent. They're up there in the top 10.
And I ask not just to remind. I ask because it's one of the contacts I have, so I didn't
know. Okay, yeah, no, it's the Secretary of State's office. He's the critical guy that could help determine this election. You got to remember. So we're concerned that Al Schmidt has not taken, this is going national. We know the Jesse Waters show will be doing it tonight, probably, just as an example. And it's gone national, and Al Schmidt still hasn't told us anything about misinformation, disinformation. We're going to get to the bottom of this. It's on a SEPTA site. They own that stuff. There is tape of this, of who did it. Was it a street artist? Was it some other entity? We're sick and tired of being lectured to about disinformation, misinformation. By the way, Dan, you and I differed a little bit yesterday, but it ties in where the Eagles are going, Brazil. And this dispute with Elon Musk clearly is about they did not like so-called right-wing hate speech and misinformation, and Elon Musk was not going to cater to them by taking down the people that were taken down. And it seems to be that Twitter used to do this in Brazil. In other words, they played ball. Elon Musk will not do it now. So I don't buy that it's more that he just won't have a legal representative there. He's not going to comply with this, is what it's about. And this authoritarian spirit on the left that we're seeing play out, you probably remember we talked about it, that Josh Shapiro months ago brought in Homeland Security, National Guard. He's going to be all out there. We're going to squelch anything you try to do to ruin this election. Well, the question is, where are they now? I talk about this all the time. If I were Secretary of State or Governor, I would use this as a prime example and say, this is disinformation. This is misinformation. Now, do I really think there are idiots out there that thought the Eagles did? Yes, because on Twitter, they're continuing to tell Dan, by extension of me, you know, this is fake, or the others, I can't root for the Eagles now. So, yes, I do believe they think it's real. Would that sway their vote? It's almost unimaginable. We live in a country where that would. But who knows? But the point is, one of the guys who could have done this, allegedly, has put up similar artwork that's anti-Trump. And they were smart enough to do it on Labor Day, knowing on Labor Day, heck, they could have done it on Saturday. It'd still be up there this morning. So where's the urgency to lecture about misinformation, disinformation? Linda Kearns will be here to give you the latest at 1 o'clock on this. It's a good thing to use to push back. Because every time we raise an objection, we're told there's nothing to see here. Just on Friday at Mulligan's, you may have been listening to the show yesterday, Dan monitoring right in the middle of Mulligan's with all these great guests, that this Commonwealth Court in Pennsylvania says some people are too stupid to put the date on the envelope in their mail-in ballot, so we're going to count it anyhow. And then we're supposed to not say, no, that's judicial activism. That's the legislature. The legislature gets to set the regulations on voting, not you. They're saying, no, we're going to win. That's what we're going to do. We have these dopey Republicans, Jubilier, one of the Republican weasels on the Commonwealth Court, and Democrats, and we have enough votes, and we're just going to say this is unconstitutional. You can put down anything or don't put down anything. We're going to count your vote. How do you like that? And we're supposed to just take it. So when they do something like this, what should the person, should they not get to the bottom of the person that did it? Should they not be prosecuted? But that's the small fish. That's small to me. The big fish here are Josh Shapiro, Al Schmidt, and the media. The media, some of them, it's a joke. You know what they're on today, softening up the battlefield, the Philadelphia Inquirer? They're back to telling us, well, the election's probably not going to be decided in Pennsylvania on election night. How many times have we been through this? The legislature has invested millions and millions of dollars to say, you keep counting, tag in another team, but you keep counting. Some places have invested in equipment that's more sophisticated, faster to count. Why is Philadelphia now again? Why are they not? Because they don't want to. The suspicion is they want to see what the result is, and then they'll give you the result to win. Now, that seems far-fetched. They refuse to go with voter ID. The reason why we don't open ballots before Election Day is because I know exactly what they'll do. Democrats will take the results, and they'll be ahead in mail-in ballots. They'll put that out there, and you know what they're trying to do. They're trying to depress you from voting, thinking, oh, man, Tom, we're already 400,000 down. They'll inflate it. Tell them anything. The media will run wild with it. All the mail-in ballots indicate it's going to be an uphill battle for Trump. Meanwhile, people are saying, oh, man, looks like we lost again. No. Open them at 7 a.m. Start counting. If you don't have enough people and machines, go and get them. They're softening the battlefield up for this. And then we're supposed to say, oh, everything is fine. It's not fine. This is where the fight is. And I'm here to tell you, people like Linda Kearns, Dan, you have a news update here. Don't play your sounder. That's okay.
No, that just came in earlier, and I meant to give that to you. Yes. The dating mail-in ballot case that we're talking about here, the yes. Black Political Empowerment et al. Versus Schmidt et al., has been appealed to the Supreme Court by the RNC. A notice of appeal was filed yesterday, and the case is going to move quickly due to the times for election appeals.
It will move quickly. Excellent. Yes. Here's what's going to happen. The Supreme Court, 6-3 at least, is going to say, get out of here. You've got to be kidding me. Of course the legislature has the right. Linda Kearns told us yesterday, Dan, I remember this. One of the reasons why they want the date on there, they're trying to facsimile to do what it's like when you go to vote. When you go to vote, you have to show up in appointed hours. You have to sign You have to go to a polling place. You have to follow the directions. Why do these mail-in people say, what the hell? I'll put this on the back of anything you want. There's my vote. Now take it. That's what Democrats want. Lazy voters. So she'll be here to break that down at 1 o'clock. But 855-839-1210. Of course, on Twitter, the argument of the other side is when we say investigate this, don't you guys have anything? It's a joke. Everything's a joke. Imagine now if the Trump people had put these up, that the Philadelphia Eagles, would they sue entities, the Eagles? What are they going to do about it? We have Tim Murtaugh coming up, Trump Operation Communications, but a lot of Pennsylvania knowledge. But at 2 o'clock, we're going to have with us a big guest, mystery guest for now, but involved with the big story here in Philadelphia with this whole billboard thing. So I can't say yet. I don't want to.
Don't jinx it.
2 o'clock today. I'll ask Tim Murtaugh as it bubbled up to the Trump level there. Can you imagine Trump at a rally talking about this, Kamala Harris with an Eagles helmet? Trump would have come out with an Eagles helmet on. Now that would be entertainment. Come on now, you know you'll love
please.
It.
Yes.
Yes. And a jersey. I don't know what number he would take. 855-839-1210. We'll talk with Tim Murtaugh from the Trump campaign coming up. Think fracking. Think how apparent Kamala Harris is in our suspension of disbelief. You know, every great writer says, you got Tim, you have to suspend your belief entering a movie theater. With Kamala Harris, we have to do that on public streets. So welcome to Philadelphia and the fracking issue here, Tim, across the state. I'm sure you've seen some of the figures. They are unimaginable how gigantic this is.
Yes. It is gigantic, and it's good to be with you again, Dom. Thanks very much for having me. Fracking, or you know, the process by which they pulled natural gas and oil out of the ground in many cases in some parts of the country, including Pennsylvania, fracking I don't think can be overstated about how important this is to Pennsylvania and some other states as well, but particularly in Pennsylvania. And that's where we're going to focus on this as a huge issue. Kamala Harris has an absolutely god-awful record on fracking, and it's kind of a strange word. I don't know if everybody understands it, but it's the process by which you pull natural gas and oil out of the ground in some cases, and Pennsylvania is absolutely a leader in this. And Kamala Harris has been adamantly, vehemently, demonstratively opposed to fracking. She supports national ban on fracking. And get this, here's one that they don't tell you about very much. On her last day, when she was the Attorney General of California, she sued the Obama administration to try to get them to stop fracking off the coast of California. That's how deeply she hates the entire industry and therefore, by extension, everyone who works in it. She sued Barack Obama to stop fracking. So when she runs around Pennsylvania these days and tries to convince people, oh, no, I'm not an enemy of your livelihood, it's a lie. Don't believe her. She has a decades-long record of opposing the very thing that puts food on the table of a lot of Pennsylvanians. Don't let her escape from what her true record really is. Her whole campaign is one big piece of fiction. That's how she's running.
Absolutely. Now, when we get into this, over the weekend, several people saying this, it's an obvious thing, but boy, this is the first time in American history that you have the person standing there who skipped the 4 years, the Biden years, in Trump, other than if Grover Cleveland were standing there, to say, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? I think it has added power. I don't think it's hackneyed or anything else. How in the world would she be able to answer that? So, Tim, do you think that's a possibility that President Trump would use that and argue his? That's a good way to argue. I'm not just some guy saying it. Look at this record versus now. Which one's better?
Yeah, exactly right. I think that this entire the framework of this entire election sets up very favorably for Donald Trump, because the fact is every single person who votes in this election in November has lived through both administrations. They've lived through the Trump administration and they've lived through the Biden-Harris administration. It's a very easy comparison to make. And even Harris knows it. You know, she's made these speeches where she talks about how much more a loaf of bread costs, how much eggs, how much milk costs, how much gas costs. your heating bills, your air conditioning bills, no matter where you are in the country, it doesn't matter. Your expenses are through the roof. She has no choice to acknowledge that. But somehow she has to pull off this trick where she acts like she's an outsider and has not been vice president for 3.5+ years while all of this has been going on. So it absolutely sets up, just like she has to run from her record on fracking in Pennsylvania. She also has to try to somehow convince everyone that for the last 3.5 years, she has also not been the vice president of the United States and nodding along in agreement and making speeches bragging about the effectiveness of Bidenomics. Of course, now she wants nothing to do with any of that. And it's a really hard thing to have to not only run against your own record, but also try to escape what you've been doing for 3.5 years, which puts you in the position to try to run this way anyway. She cannot be allowed to position herself as an outsider when she's been working in the White House for the last 3.5 years, helping to craft these god-awful policies that are putting everybody in the poorhouse.
Now, the debate, of course, is big. But before the debate, Tim, it's pretty clear the election, the convention bounce was not there. Particularly Pennsylvania was the biggest non-bounce for Harris. This plays into, and we'll see over the next week or so, the narrative that the more you see her, the more the bloom is off the rose, very similar to when she ran for president.
Yeah, this is like an exact duplicate of what happened in 2019. And when she ran for president on her own for the 2020 Democratic primaries, remember that she was forced to quit the race for lack of support, inability to fundraise, the whole bit. She was down at zeros all the way across the board. She quit before it was even 2020. She withdrew from the race in December of 2019, and we see this happening again. She had, her best days of this campaign are already behind her. In fact, if you look at it polling-wise, I believe that she peaked actually before the Democratic National Convention. In the end, I believe that the sugar high of the cheerleading from the national media will actually work against her, because people were sold this idea of a candidate. And then once they actually see her act, they think, this is what they tried to sell me as a legitimate shot at running for president? No, 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 no. So I think you've already seen it. It's tailing off. We've already hit the peak. And I do want to mention something about Tim Walz and how he runs around, embellishing his record, both on military service, but also as a high school football coach. You know, he introduces himself as a high school football coach, and he talks about how he turned around a losing team and took him to the state title. Now, in Pennsylvania is one of those states where high school football is king in a lot of cities, right? Like Texas and Florida, Oklahoma also, Ohio. Pennsylvania is right there. High school football, very, very important. I grew up in Delaware County. I know how important high school football is. You tell somebody, hey, I coached my high school team to the state title, they're going to think you were the head coach. Now, when he tells somebody that, and then later on, they find out he was an unpaid volunteer assistant coach, well, then they're going to know that he tried to...
Oh, wait a minute, Tim. I didn't know that. I thought the big lie he was getting away with was the head coach. Then I thought maybe he was the defensive coordinator, but he was an unpaid volunteer coach.
Yeah, unpaid volunteer. And I don't know what they say. He might have run the defense. I don't know.
Well, wait a minute, Tim. My researchers are going there. And, Dan, you're looking at it. They scored 40 points a game against him. Now we're just making that up against Walz. We got to research that. Yeah.
Look, when you tell people who are like high school football fanatics, hey, yeah, I was the head coach, or I coached my team to the state title, you leave out details that you're letting them fill in their minds. You are leaving them with the impression on purpose that you're the head coach of that team. And he wasn't. He never was. So it's another thing where he's trying to embellish his record by kind of slipping it past people and hope they never catch him. But when they do catch him, they think, man, that guy can't be trusted. Why would he lie about that?
That's exactly right. Tim, where do people go for all things Trump? Where would you put people to volunteer, donate, anything else?
Yeah, I mean, I got to tell you, I think the most important things for everybody to check out is our social media, and that will guide you. So I would start at Trump War Room, and also, you know, he's using it again. I would encourage people to check out Donald Trump's Twitter feed, which is at Real Donald Trump, but also over on Truth Social. I think it's great, and I think that'll give you all the information. And really appreciate it. There's just more than 60 days left to go in this campaign, and I don't have to restate for you or your audience, Dom, exactly what's at stake here. but really, truly, the future of this country is going to be on the line in November. And we've got to get Donald Trump back in there, because we have seen what the alternative is. And the alternative wants four more years. The alternative is not a fresh face. It is not turning the page. It's the same old junk. We've already seen it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Tim. Anytime. Thanks for joining us today.
Yep, you bet, Dom. Thank you.
Tim Murtaugh from Delaware County, Trump Campaign 2024. Dan, an unpaid volunteer. I would have, I've often said that it's not just the skill of an attorney, these really big cases like the OJ case. It was the researchers, the stuff that they were able to get in the defense of OJ Simpson with money, resources, great people. I wonder what Tim, he coached defense. It'd be interesting to see how that worked. Unpaid volunteer coach. Not the head coach. 8558. You guys are looking for anything. Come on now. Let's go and look at some more Kamala Harris ads there for the Eagles. All right. Side question today. John Middleton. I can't say enough good stuff. I think it's a rare owner that does stuff like that. Hit us with somebody unexpected. It could be a bad experience with a major celebrity. Hopefully a good one. Now, Joe DiMaggio, Dan, I don't know. From what I've heard with the DiMaggio, Allen and Yardley might be bad. Allen, what happened with Joe DiMaggio?
Hey, Dom. I'm glad you shared a good experience with an owner. So my sister and I were in Trenton at Rossi's, iconic, in the Chambersburg section. And Joe DiMaggio was there, and we're eating dinner, and my sister goes, I think that's Joe DiMaggio. I don't know. Should I go up? So my sister goes up. He's eating his dinner, and he yells at her. He says, I'm in the middle of my dinner. And then, but, said, I'm not going to give you an autograph. So she comes back, sulking. But when he was finished his dinner, he did motion her over and signed her napkin.
Happy ending. Look, I'm not at a level, Alan, where Joe DiMaggio, it could be people bother you all the time, but you got to more gracefully try to.
I don't know. I kind of like the move.
You do?
Yeah, I mean, as long as he, had the way out was like.
He can say, can I sign it after dinner? I promise I'll come over and sit down. Something like that after I finish eating.
He was definitely nasty, but here's the thing. He was in a small family-owned bar in Chambersburg section of Trenton. Not like he was with all these other people. Just be a nice guy.
Alan, I actually have audio of when you guys approached Joe DiMaggio. You want to hear that?
Yeah.
Get him out! Get him out of here!
All right, Alan, that is a good one. We're taking
part of that.
That is a bittersweet. He came at the end. Dan, there's a way to deal with that, though.
No,
you got to.
I'm of the ilk, though. Like, if someone's enjoying a meal and they're famous, they deserve a right to a meal. Like, come on.
Yeah. The only thing is, I'd say Joe DiMaggio's reputation is really bad.
Yeah.
Oh, over the years. Really bad. Oh, yeah. So okay. That's why
that
I thought, despite Seinfeld and Dinky Donut and all that stuff, it's not good. So that's why I say, come on, Joe. Just say you come over and sign it afterward. All right, 855.
Yeah, you're right. Like, Gracie, like, hey, guys, I'm halfway through a meal here, but give me a little bit. I'll come by later. Yeah, rather than get the hell away from me.
Or you can do it quickly. Hey, what's your name? I'll sign the napkin.
Get him out. Out of here.
If you're in a place where there's like 500 people are going to come over there, the all-time best celebrity I've been around was Nick Foles. So much, Dan, when we did that speech series with him, we told him, Nick, you just got to go backstage afterward. Don't go near the stage that we were on. Oh, my God. He just walks out. Hi, folks. It was like, please. It was mayhem. Mayhem with him.
Michael says, Dom, thanks for the shout out. You looked at me with scorn like I was a squeegee guy. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Oh, my God.
Who's he talking about there?
Woody Allen.
Oh, Woody Allen.
That fits, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that really fits.
Some great ones on Twitter, Dom. Here's a good one from Marcus. 1986, in college, a buddy and I walking down the street, Midtown Manhattan, we see Fred Gwynne, Herman Munster at a phone booth. As we approach, he turns to us, and an intimidating voice says, I have no time for the Herman jokes today, boys. We sheepishly walk away.
See? Classy. Joe DiMaggio could learn something from that. I have no time today to sign your napkin. All right. Yeah, well, DiMaggio, too, wanted to get paid. He was one of the autograph things going on.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3, from Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.